Hello, Fuji lovers. Tomasz here, and this is another episode of Fuji Love Podcast. Today, I'm coming to you from an unusual location. I am in Venice, Italy, where tomorrow the 2018 Fuji Love Venice Carnival Adventure is about to start. People are already arriving here in the hotel in Venice, and we are going to photograph this amazing event. Venice Carnival for another 6 days, actually a week. A wonderful event. We are running this event every single year. So, you know, Venice Carnival is a must. If you have never seen it, make sure it's on your bucket list, because it's really something spectacular, basically beautiful and extremely photogenic. So make sure you join us once. It would be wonderful to have you once here in Venice with us as well. Before we jump into today's interview, and Jens Krauer was talking to Ian McDonald, ex-photographer whose article appeared in the January edition of Fuji Life magazine. Before we jump into Jens's conversation with Ian, I just want to quickly share the news with you. You must have seen it on the website and in our mailing list, on our newsletter. Finally, we launched Fuji Life Extended. Fuji Life Extended is another level of our Fuji Life subscription. And what a treat it is. You have to find out for yourself. All the information is on the website. Basically, for another $5 a month, yes, $5 a month, not more, you are getting access to two online live webinars, workshops with Fujifilm X photographers. And not only, we will be having some wonderful guests. Those $5 a month extra will give you, and this is really an invaluable experience, you know, it's like having a photographer in your own room, a photographer who is sharing his work, who is teaching you, who is, you know, giving you tips and tricks on Fujifilm X series. Two webinars like this a month are now an integral part of Fujilove Extended. We just ran the first webinar with Valerie Jardin on street photography, and people absolutely loved it. You can have a look for yourself in the Fujilove Readers group on Facebook. People already started sharing their impressions from the webinar. And we have a nice lineup of photographers already ready to go for the next webinars. We will be having Jonas Rask, Take Kayo. We will be having Ibarion Experello. There is a Paul Sanders landscape photography. It's a special experience. You know, you are sitting at home with a cup of tea, maybe a notepad and a pencil, and the photographer live in front of you on the computer screen is sharing his photographs, is explaining how he worked on those images. This is an important part. The photographer on the other side is answering your questions. We are running a Q&A session. Sometimes we mix it up, you know, where people can, you will be able to ask your questions live on the spot, and the photographers are answering them. So we had such a great time with Valerie, and I am so much looking forward to the upcoming webinars. So those webinars are not the only part of this new Fujilove Extended subscriptions. We also introduced the Fujilove X series helpline, you know, support line, and we have the UK Fujifilm X photographer Dave Kai Piper ready for you 24 hours every day to answer any questions, any, you know, to solve any problems you might have with your Fujifilm lenses, Fujifilm cameras, software, whatever. This is great. People already started sending in first questions, first issues, and Dave generously, you know, helps everyone with those issues. So, oh man, I am even forgetting what else is the part of the Fujilove Extended. I will stop bragging now. I mean, we have people already subscribing to Fujilove Extended. We are working hard on, you know, on and making sure that everything is working really great. Have a look for yourself. Head to fujilove.com, and you will quickly find more information about this Fujilove Extended plan. Okay, let's jump into today's episode. Once more, Jens Krauer is talking today with Ian McDonald, Fujifilm X photographer, official ex-photographer from Canada. Before we jump into the conversation, here is a quick word from our sponsors. 500px, wonderful community of photographers and the world's leading photo sharing site. I have been sharing my own photographs on several different platforms, and 500px is definitely the one which I recommend the most. Your photos will shine and look really beautiful on their site. So join millions of photographers who share already their photos, learn and grow together with them every day. 500px.com. Today's episode of Fujilove Podcast is brought to you by Alien Skin Software, makers of Exposure X3. Exposure is the award-winning RAW photo editor and organizer that offers gorgeous, non-destructive editing, powerful organizing tools, hundreds of authentic film looks, and fast, easy-to-use workflow. Exposure X3 is now the Fujilove photo editing software of choice. I have personally switched my entire photo editing workflow to Exposure, and I couldn't be more happy. So try Exposure X3 free today. Go to alienskin.com. If you decide to purchase it, make sure you use the coupon code FUJILOVE to get 10% off.
Welcome to the FUJILOVE podcast. Today's guest is Ian MacDonald, who also wrote the cover story for January's FUJILOVE magazine. And that's also the reason we're talking today to Ian. Ian, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Actually, I truly enjoyed the article you wrote for the Fujilove magazine. And if I understood it right, this is actually a love letter to creativity and the role it plays in life.
It is. A love letter is a good term. It's also a reminder. 2018, you know, you and I were just talking off air. Life is busy these days. And it seems to be getting busier as time goes on. And I find that one of the things that happens when things get really busy is that we quite often push the things we love. And for us, that's photography. For some people, it's playing an instrument or hiking. We kind of push those things back a little bit. And so the article was a bit of a reminder that we have to prioritize the things we love, because that's what makes us happy. It's what makes us fulfilled.
Why is it Paris? Is it because you particularly fell in love with Paris, or did it just happen to be in Paris?
I think Paris was the vehicle for the article, but the article is very much the way I look at things. So I'll kind of answer that in two parts, I guess. You know, first of all, there's a quote by an author named Stephen Covey, and he talks about don't prioritize your schedule, but instead schedule your priorities. And my interpretation of what he means by that is that rather than look at your busy day or your busy week or your busy month and spend all this time kind of shuffling all the things you have to do onto a to-do list, instead, what you need to do is you need to look at what are your priorities in life and how can you fit those into your busy life. And for me, of course, that is creating art and it's photography. And so, you know, sometimes that might just be a quick walk around the city block on a lunch hour. But for me in September, it was a trip to Paris after I taught a workshop in Amsterdam. And that really served as a good reminder for this way I view the world and also for the basis or the impetus for that article.
Now, when I read your blog on your webpage, this kind of a big year for you, 2018. So a lot of things changed. Did this the clarity and this thought of the importance of creativity come to you after a longer process this year? Or is this just, did it just happen to be 2018?
I have to go back a tiny little bit, I guess, to answer that. I have talked about another podcast before and on my website that I've always kind of led this dual life of being a paramedic on emergency ambulances, being an educator in the EMS system, but also being a professional photographer. And a few years ago, I unfortunately got what many paramedics get, which is PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And I had to step away from my ambulance for a while. And during that period where I was healing from the PTSD, it really was an opportunity to hit the pause button on life and to really reevaluate everything, every aspect of my life, my photography, my work, my career, my family time, everything. And it put a lot of things into perspective for me. And 2018, that first blog post of 2018 that you're probably referring to, what you see in that blog post where I kind of lay out my manifesto, my game plan for the year, what you're really seeing there is the culmination of probably a year of reflection and a year of planning and reprioritizing.
Because it's quite a plan. I mean, I've been in similar situations. I can relate to what you wrote. I had similar reflections to change basically how my life goes. Has there been friction or is it a struggle to execute? Or is it just that there was the calling and now things kind of fall into place?
I think whenever you're making a significant change in anything, in your life, in your art, in your career, I don't actually think executing the final plan involves friction. I think the friction, the tension, the indecision, I think all of that comes during the planning phase. I think once you have a plan and you know in your heart that it's the right thing to do, I think putting the boots on the ground and actually rolling up your sleeves and doing the work is the easy part. So the hard part was getting there. After that, everything has been quite straightforward and exciting at the same time.
Okay, so once you decided to actually be a full-time creative, what role did photography play in going forward?
You know, I've always been an artist. I've talked before about the fact that I was a professional musician for a long time, and that kind of shifted to web design for a while and then shifted to photography. So in general, art has always helped me out. It has been my creative outlet to let the right side of my brain calm down and the left side of my brain do what it loves to do. And I think that's an important thing. You know, in that article where I talk about making time and prioritizing creativity, giving creativity the time that it deserves, you know, I say in the article that it doesn't have to be a trip to Paris. It doesn't have to be a vacation halfway around the world. One of my all-time favorite street photographers on Instagram created a huge percentage of his body of work on his lunch breaks, just taking that mental time out for 45 minutes each day and walking around the block making photos. I know a lady who is a single mom, works two jobs and goes to school. She's amazing. And she prioritizes 30 minutes of photography a day. And sometimes she just has to do it in her backyard because she can't leave the house. But she still prioritizes it. And I think that's a big, big part of how photography has always helped me, not just through the PTSD, but always, is I've purposely made a point of keeping my art at the forefront. And that makes me more balanced in every other aspect of my life.
Which is an interesting point, because you also quoted the Chuck Close,
yes,
in your article, which is one of my favorite quotes. You actually put it in a nicer way. The way I remember it is that he said, inspiration is for amateurs.
Yes.
The rest of us just goes up and gets to work. So you agree to the fact that you actually need to schedule your creativity. How do you do that?
You know, on two comments on that. So I did paraphrase that quote, and I paraphrased it for a reason, actually. If you actually look at the word amateur, most people think amateur means somebody that's not professional, but that's actually not what the word means. The word amateur just means lover of. It means that you love something. And to me, some of the greatest artists in the world are amateurs, but they create stunningly beautiful work. So I did paraphrase that quote because of that. The second part of it, though, was your question, how do I implement that?
Well, the question was pointing towards how do you schedule creativity at the end of the day? Because as you were just about to mention, the second part goes, you just get up and go to work. But the challenge is you need to make room for that in your daily life.
That's correct. And I purposefully do that. So if you were to look at my calendar right now, for this week as an example, it has you know, this podcast on it. It has some post-processing on a portrait shoot I have to deliver this week. It has some prep for an upcoming wedding. It's got an entire day blocked out to writing for a book that I'll be publishing in a few months. But you'll also see specific times dedicated to going out with my camera and shooting. I actually put them right into my calendar that this is the time I'm going to go pick up my camera. And it goes back to that quote. I think if we wait for motivation, we can sometimes wait a long time. But if we get up, pick up our camera, and walk out the door, inspiration tends to find us. We just have to put in the work first.
That's absolutely correct. So what do you do when you don't feel inspired at all? Like if it's getting really hard, you'd still kind of push through it if there's no results? And how do you deal with that?
I will still dedicate time to art, but I will sometimes shift focus. An analogy that I'll use would be to go back to when I was a professional musician and I play guitar. And there were occasions where if I kept pushing on, say, a new piece of music that I was trying to learn, sometimes I would just get more and more frustrated. Maybe the piece of music was right at the cusp of my capabilities or beyond my capabilities at the time. And I found that the more I beat my head into the wall trying to learn it, the more frustrated I would get. But I also found that if I just put it down, not the guitar, but that particular piece, if I just put it down for a week, a month, and I came back to it, I usually learned it very quickly. And that taught me that, you know, there may be a certain aspect of my photography that I may be not feeling the motivation for. Maybe I'm shot out on street photography right now or something else. But what I'll do is I'll change my focus. Maybe I will switch up to doing some portrait work. Maybe I'll focus on an upcoming wedding. Maybe I'll do some still life in my house. I will still spend time because, you know, just like that quote, I do sincerely believe you have to put the work in, but I'll shift my focus to a different genre or a different aspect of photography to keep it fresh.
It's a very smart strategy. Now, if we go back a little bit, and let me just read that quite impressive list. So you're a teacher, a musician, you've been a paramedic, a web designer, a photographer, and then you also became an ex-photographer. Now, I believe that creativity, or photography especially, is kind of a collage of things. So you bring in what you bring with you, because at the end you have a camera and you need to project something into it. Do you feel that having all these life experiences gives you an advantage in the creative process?
Wow, that's an excellent question. You know, if I think of who I am as a photographer, one of the things that when I became a full-time photographer, not just when I was a professional photographer alongside my paramedicine, but when I became a full-time photographer, one of the things I told myself was that I was going to shoot the work that I wanted to create. And that instantly made me focus on my strengths. And so my strengths are obviously as an educator, you know, I have multiple college level diplomas in adult education and pedagogy and curriculum design. And so a big part of my photography brand, if you will, I hate that word, but a big part of my photography brand is education. I teach 3-day street photography workshops. I teach online education via Skype. I have some books coming out. And that goes to the 20 years of experience I have as an educator and my university education to learn how to teach properly. I think it's fair to say that in any genre, there are some people that teach because they love it and some people that teach because it is a paycheck for them. And I definitely fall into the former. You know, in other ways or other aspects, how my background plays into it, 20 years on an ambulance as a paramedic, 15,000 911 calls, one of the things I developed through that is a love of people. I love people from all walks of life. And, you know, you have to appreciate, if you're a paramedic, you know, one patient might be an unconscious diabetic, but the next patient might be somebody that survived the Holocaust and, you know, they were in Auschwitz. And you have these amazing conversations with 10 people a day as a paramedic. And that feeds into my work as a photographer because people form the basis of what I love to shoot, be it street photography or portraits or weddings for that matter. So I think we are a culmination of our experiences. And I think that my experiences made me develop a love for people. And they also gave me strengths as an educator and public speaker. And all of that now shapes who I am as a working creative.
Do you think that, because a lot of things you did in your life sounds to me like you had the privilege to lose some fears or to experience some things. Is that something that makes it easier for you to go out, shoot on the street?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just thinking of like 5 different answers when you ask that, but a really simple answer is it does. I literally 2 days ago just came back from a week in San Francisco and I spent, 10, 12 hours a day walking the city. I walked 68 kilometers in 5 days and I love city streets. And I love city streets at night. And that unequivocally, I can say, comes from my background as a paramedic. And then, of course, when I'm out walking the streets, I have absolutely no qualms about talking to strangers, interacting with people, making portraits of strangers. And I think that all comes from a confidence gained through my background teaching, my background as a paramedic, my background performing on stage as a musician. I think everything we do, for better or for worse, it shapes who we are as a person today. And so all of my previous experiences definitely inform my approach to photography.
I can relate to that because I had a few experiences in life that make me not be afraid exactly at 3 a.m. in whatever city I walk on the street. And I think that's actually a good advantage. If your curiosity doesn't get stopped by fear or by holding back, I think you can really let the creativity out in that field.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes you just have to say to yourself too, like, what is the worst thing that can happen? It almost, there's times on the street where you see that amazing person and they're amazing because of their face, the life, the experience in their face, whatever it happens to be. And you're drawn to them and you want to make a portrait of them. And maybe you're nervous as you approach them, or even you're having that inner debate about if you should approach them. But you have to go back to that 15-year-old boy or girl who wants to ask the person out on their first date, right? You have to go back to what is the worst thing that can happen. And the worst thing that can happen is people say no. And you thank them and you compliment them and you move on. And I find that, you know, we all know people in life that are held back by fear. And one of the things that I have learned in my life through being a paramedic and other experiences, of course, is simply that life is short. And I never want to be the person who looks back and has regrets. I would much rather be the person who builds the life purposefully that I want to live and, you know, rolls with the punches when setbacks come, like my PTSD a couple of years ago, or I guess last year. But I want to do things with intent and I never want to have regrets. I would much rather have the person say no to me and move on at least feeling good about the fact that I tried, than to regret the fact that I didn't try.
Absolutely. I think no regrets is an incredibly good credo to go for in life. And also, I, from my experiences, whenever you get nervous shooting on the street or when you feel that fear coming up, I started realizing that that's exactly the moment where good things are about to happen. Now, if you step back that very moment, you might miss out on great opportunities and you probably regret it after.
Yeah, there's actually a saying, I'll have to paraphrase this one because I don't know it exactly, but it essentially says, without risk, there can be no reward. And if I think of the greatest things in my life, they happened because I asked. That's it. They happened because I was brave enough to step on stage. They happened because I was brave enough to reach out and talk to somebody. They happened because I was brave enough to take the first steps and see where the path went. And that is a motto that I think, you know, for everybody, if you're the person who's the budding street photographer, but you're scared to go up and ask somebody for a portrait, start small. You know, what are your comfort zones? Start by asking the barrister at the coffee shop how their day is and gain confidence talking to strangers in safe places like that. And then build. And one of the magic things that happens, and I promise this to anybody that says, I can't do that, each time you do it, you get a little bit more confidence. And when you get that picture you want, you have an incredible sense of fulfillment and satisfaction because you took the risk and you got the reward. And it is so worth it. Sometimes you just have to step off the cliff.
Yeah, I think it's about the comfort zone. I usually, when I teach workshops, the first thing I tell people is street photography begins at the end of your comfort zone. And if we spin that further, actually creativity can start to become interesting when you leave that comfort zone. So I can totally underline what you're saying, and I encourage everybody to step out of that zone.
Absolutely.
What I was wondering when I read the article is, I mean, not everybody's life has a lot of time and people interfere with your creativity. What pulls you most out of your creative state? Which parts of life pull you back to not being creative or to be not in a creative mode?
I think all of life can if you let it. So, you know, as an example, in my household, I am married. I have an amazingly brilliant wife who has recently completed her master's degree and works a full-time career. I have an 11-year-old daughter who goes to 4 different dance classes a week and other social activities, of course, with her friends. The kid is far more popular than I will ever be. You know, we have 2 cats, we have a dog. And if I think of just the day-to-day logistics of getting my daughter to dance class and feeding the dog and cleaning the backyard and, oh, the fence needs repaired and the business, I have to focus on the bookkeeping today. And if you allow all of the little nuts and bolts parts of life, laundry, right? If you allow those things to, they will be like a rapid current in a river that will just sweep you down. And that actually goes back to the point of being purposeful in scheduling time to allow your creativity to grow. I find that if I don't schedule it, any aspect of my life can pull me away from my creativity. But if I prioritize my creativity, be it a 5-day trip to San Francisco like I just did, or I have an hour and I'm going somewhere with my camera for that hour, if I don't make purposeful decisions to feed my creativity, every aspect of my life can pull me away from it.
Has that been an ability that you had from the beginning? Because that's mentally is incredibly strong to be able to do that. Did you change into that, or have you always been like that?
I think I learned it. I wouldn't say it is a natural ability. I think I learned it a long time ago with, you know, playing guitar. It was, okay, it's time to get out the metronome and practice a half an hour of scales today, right? I think that I know I have been guilty of, I take my calendar and I write down everything I have to do. I have to go pay this bill. It's income tax time. I have to get my daughter to dance class, blah, blah, blah. And what I would never do is, it, going back a few years, what I would never do is actually put my creativity on the calendar. So what would happen is my creativity, be it my guitar or my cameras or whatever, those would always be the afterthoughts. Those would be when I get all of this day-to-day stuff done, I will then get to do this other stuff that I do for fun. And what I realized was sometimes weeks would go by without me doing those things that I love, those things that feed my soul. And so I just learned that the only way I could continue progressing as an artist was to dedicate time, even if it's a snippet of time, but to dedicate time to my art the same way I dedicated time to every other aspect of my life. And once I did that, it was kind of like a mental switch. But what it did was it prioritized the things in life, like my art, to a level like everything else, like spending quality time with my daughter and everything else. And now it's just a part of my routine. You know, I'm going to go banking, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to do the laundry, and now it's time to focus on my art.
Which also requires that you actually acknowledge creativity as something essential in your life. I think a lot of people just do a little bit of creative stuff on the side. And I tend to think that it's massively underestimated how much creativity as a regular exercise actually enriches your life.
Yes. You know, a really good friend of mine and I, we had a conversation about this exact topic a couple weeks ago. And the conversation focused around the fact I don't like to use, I don't label a lot of things. Like if you ask me what kind of photographer I am, my answer is I'm just a photographer. You know, my primary love is street photography, unequivocally, but that doesn't mean I don't shoot cityscapes and landscapes and weddings and portraits and other stuff too. And I don't want to put terms on myself. I think it's actually very pretentious to put terms on yourself. And the conversation I had with a friend of mine was simply about the fact that he doesn't see how remarkably talented he is as a creative. He just thinks that he takes pictures when he has free time. And I sit back and look at his work and I'm blown away by the quality of it. And when I hear him talk about photography and he has this passion in his voice and he has this love, and this gentleman goes back, you know, shooting film 40, 50 years ago kind of thing, right? And I know he is an artist. I know he is a creative. From his perspective, I really truly think he doesn't see that. He just sees himself as somebody who takes pictures for fun when he's not doing his other stuff. And so you're absolutely right that I think prioritizing creativity also means having an awareness that you are a creative and that being a creative is something to be proud of. It is something to honor and it is something to give the time to, as your schedule allows, that it deserves, because it is a wonderful thing.
Well, it's maybe also a change in society. I believe creativity over the next 10, 20 years will gain massively in importance as a core skill, not only in so-called classic creative fields, but also in business. I just believe creativity in the future will be a skill that will be highly valued.
Yes, I completely agree too. And I think what you're seeing now, you know, I'm fortunate that I've been self-employed and or had the one job as a paramedic for the vast majority of my adult life. So I've never had to go from job to job. But in talking to friends that have recently changed jobs, what is interesting is they don't get asked anymore about, you know, let's talk about your resume. Let's talk about this previous job you worked at. Instead, they get asked about skills like communication, problem solving, creative solutions to a problem or a task. And so I'm already seeing a shift in society through conversations with my friends where they're getting asked far more about thought process, and creativity is part of that thought process, and far less about tell us what GPA you got when you went to university. So I completely agree with you. I think it is growing.
One of the reasons I quit my job was exactly that, because I felt I'm a creative problem solver, and the corporate environment I was in didn't allow me to do that. So that was one of the reasons I skipped out of that world, because it was frustrating. Do you think business interferes with passion?
I think you have to respect the fact that you need the business. And if we're speaking strictly about somebody who's a full-time creative for a second, the reality is if you are a full-time creative and you're running your business properly, creating art is probably only 10 or 20% of your time. You're going to spend way more time in front of your computer than you're ever going to spend behind your camera. And I think that's one of the rude awakenings that a lot of people get when they start becoming full-time photographers. I think that the only way you can create art well is if the business is running well. And that means your bookkeeping, it means your accounting, it means cleaning your equipment, it means ordering stock, it means editing and processing and delivering work to clients, it means invoicing, it means marketing, it means paying attention to your social media, because that is, you know, the preeminent form of marketing in today's day and age. If you don't do those things, if the business side is not running smoothly, I think it sits in the back of your mind all the time, because that directly ties to your income. Therefore, it becomes a detriment to being free enough and in the right mental place to create art. And I think the analogy for people that are not full-time photographers is simply life. You know, if you have to deal with perhaps it's illness like mine was a year or two ago, perhaps it is the fact that income tax season is coming up, perhaps it is a final with school and a big exam coming up. All of those things can pull you away from creativity. And so I think the trick is just to be aware of it, understand it, and still do your best to give yourself a little bit of free time to be a creative where you can.
I totally agree with you. Or you actually integrate it into the creative process as something necessary to do to get to a certain point. I don't know how you see this, but I see a lot of people who actually don't enjoy the process of creativity. They rather enjoy the results. For me, enjoying the process was actually the key to becoming more creative. How do you see that?
I enjoy the process more than I enjoy the final results. If we are not talking about client-driven work, obviously, because results ultimately matter. But I have an article on my website from early 2017. And because I'm an official ex-photographer, I'm involved with Fuji Canada. I do a lot of presentations with them and photo walks and stuff like that. And the article is basically about a photo walk that we did back in February. And it was tying in with the launch of the GFX at the time. And in the article, I talk about how I actually didn't take a single picture, not one. And the reason was that I was with some friends I hadn't seen in a while. I was helping some people that I had never met. They had questions about the Fuji X system or the GFX, and we were talking gear. And, you know, 2 or 3 hours through the walk, I had amazing conversations. I shared laughs with old friends. I shared laughs with new friends. I helped some people out with the technical aspect of their photography. And I went home with a blank memory card. And I'm totally good with that. I am totally fine going out for a day of street photography and not coming home with a keeper, because the process has to be as enjoyable as the product when we're talking about personal work. I think that if you don't love the process, it's a battle to get to the product every time. And for me, going back to this concept that life is short, I think I want to be purposeful in how I spend my time, and I want to enjoy all of it, not just the final product.
I'm with you on that. And I believe if you don't enjoy the process, actually creativity can drive you to a miserable place, because it is more the process than anything else. If you enjoy the process, you keep going for life, actually.
Absolutely. You know, athletes call it getting in the zone, right? I just think if you take barriers away, you will instantly be in a place where you can more easily be creative.
As we approach slowly the end of our conversation, let's quickly talk gear. I love your pictures, man. And I'm wondering, I see this is all X100F. Is that primarily what you shoot?
So I have a love affair with the X100 series. There is unequivocally no doubt about that. It changed everything in my life, like it did for many of us. I was fortunate to be one of the 50 official Fuji X photographers that were on the beta testing team for the X100F. And so I've been working with that camera since, I guess, Halloween 2016 kind of thing. I do own an X-T2. I do own an X-Pro2. And the X-Pro2 and the X-T2, those are my go-tos when I require different focal lengths, right? When I'm shooting weddings, it's obviously going to be two interchangeable lens bodies. When I'm out doing landscapes, you know, I really love the 16-55 and the 50-140. Those will go on a couple of bodies. I'll take those out with me. But if my focus is on traveling light, if my focus is on street photography, the X100 series is all I need. There's no doubt about that.
Plus, you don't have to carry a lot. What I'm also wondering is, did you give the GFX a shot?
A little bit. I haven't given it the time that it deserves yet. And that is mostly because there's a specific project that I have in mind. And I will arrange one from Fujifilm Canada at some point for this portrait project. But because most of my work is travel and most of my work is street, I just find that the X100F, or maybe the X-Pro2 with the 23F2 or sometimes the 50F2, that's all I need for the work that I do. So I've been kind of holding off on the GFX until a specific portrait project comes up that I'll be using it for.
I think you will enjoy. I'm working with it for now roughly half a year, and I think it's an absolutely beautiful camera.
Yes. You know what? I have no qualms about enjoying it. I've actually figured out if I sold everything I own except for my X100F, I could afford the GFX and two lenses. And you know, I've thought about it before, but for me, the X system delivers what I need. The GFX is going to be a newer thing for me, but it'll be for a specific portrait project.
Quickly, in terms of the X100F, is there any go-to settings that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, I've actually got a blog post called Setting Up the X100F for Street Photography on my website. And, you know, it depends where I am. So here in the Pacific Northwest, so if I'm shooting Vancouver or Seattle, the weather changes every minute sometimes. And I don't want to be constantly changing camera settings when I'm shooting on the street. So for me, in my walk around up here, I typically am an aperture priority auto ISO shooter. And the only thing I really change is my exposure compensation. Now, when I was shooting with, you might be familiar with a gentleman in Los Angeles named Rinzi Ruiz. He's an amazing street photographer in LA.
One of my favorites.
Absolutely. And so Rinzi and I shot together in LA in March. And it was quite comical, actually, there. He just said to me right at the beginning of the day, F11, ISO 200, 1/500th of a second. And I said to him, so like for right here? And he goes, no, for the whole day. And I kind of laughed, but I went manual mode. I put in those settings and I didn't change a damn thing for like 5 hours that we shot together, because it was all blue sky and consistent light down in Los Angeles, right? And so a lot of it just depends on where you are. If I'm, my number one goal when I'm being a street photographer is that I want to be a creative, you know, I want to focus on the visual art of it. I don't want to be tweaking knobs on my camera all the time. So if the light's changing a lot, I trust the auto ISO and I trust the aperture priority, and I can make tweaks with my exposure compensation or my spot metering if I need to. And when I'm in really consistent light, well, then manually set it and, you know, make little modifications throughout the day if you need to.
I'll just sign every line of what you just mentioned. I think auto ISO and aperture priority plus maybe spot metering is some of the most efficient thing you can do on any Fujifilm camera. It even works with the GFX, by the way.
Oh, you know what? I completely agree. And for me, I mean, you've seen my street work, so you know I love dark shadows and whatnot. And the exposure compensation and or the spot metering, that's all I need. You know, my pictures come out 90% done when I take the picture. There's always a little bit of tweaking in Lightroom, but it's pretty rare that I spend more than 1 minute on an image. And that's because I see the light first, like many of us do. And then when I have the light, I tweak it with exposure comp or spot metering to put the shadows where I want them. And after that, you know, your picture is basically done, barring a little bit on the computer.
I totally share the experience. So for those of you who are looking for thick black shadows and dramatic light, just give spot metering a shot and you will be surprised.
Yes, totally agree.
Well, Ian, it's been great talking to you. I actually want to just quickly mention 3 points that I took away from your blog post that I think rounds this up kind of nicely. You mentioned that your motto for 2018 will be create, share, and encourage. And I think that's a really beautiful motto to go by. Is there anything you would like to add to that?
Inspire. You know, I don't like to say I want to inspire others because it sounds so pretentious. But, you know, through my workshops, through my online education, through prints that I sell, through the books that I'm going to be publishing this year, what I really want to see happen is I just want to take my own little corner of the world and I want to encourage other people to create art in their little corner of the world. You know, in the grand scheme of things, I'm one guy, right? And there's a million artists out there that create work that destroys mine on a daily basis. But I have been inspired personally by many other photographers, names that you and the listeners would know. And if I in turn can help even one person get to the place that they want to be, and that's probably the teacher in me, the 20-year teacher in me speaking, but to me, that's going to be a win. I want to create art. I want to share and collaborate with people. And I want to see other people make the work that gives them that sense of satisfaction that I know I get when I make an image that I love. And that's it.
Beautiful. Nothing to add. Thank you for being a guest, Ian, and hear from you and see you soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me, my friend. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Stay up to date with Fuji Love. Follow our Facebook page and join the Fuji Love Facebook Readers Group. Head over to www.fujilove.com for all the necessary information. Take good care, and we will talk to you next time.